Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. Hey everyone, we are back. This is Josh.
And this is Scott.
And we're so glad to be back. It was a great weekend.
Yes.
You were out.
Yeah.
You were at a parent-child dedication.
That's right. My granddaughter, my fourth granddaughter, was being dedicated at her church, at her parents' church, I should say. She's not a member. It's not the way we do
not
that here.
It's not that kind of church.
But at her parents' church, which is Redeemer Church, a church that launched out of Grace, goodness, 15 plus years ago.
Yeah.
And doing well. The church is doing fantastic. They're growing and sweet fellowship. I got to hear a great sermon from Jamie Mosley.
Yeah.
My son-in-law leads the singing there, and the singing was wonderful. And they're about to move into a new building, and it was just a beautiful day. And then they had a parent-child dedication, and so my granddaughter was dedicated. So I was there, and that means you preached yesterday. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, happy to.
I was able to listen to it online, the recording of it yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
And it was just fantastic, very edifying, very encouraging.
Well, thank
you. Yeah. Now, explain to the people, how do you pronounce this stubby fingers thing again?
Colobodactylus.
Okay.
It sounds like a species of dinosaur, but it means stubby fingers.
Yeah, and if you did not listen to the sermon, we're not even going to tell you why that was in there.
That's right.
But Josh had a reference to someone whose nickname was stubby fingers.
That's right.
Go listen and you'll find out.
Yeah.
I think you also were trying to throw some subtle hints to my way about watching more movies and throwing in more movie illustrations in my sermons, and also dressing a little hipper. is that what you were trying to do?
Just me rattling stuff off the top of my head about things I could imagine that you might get an email about somebody trying to encourage you to do.
Yeah, okay.
But you're not suggesting. More extraordinary.
Extraordinary in my dress and in my illustrations.
That's right. So if Scott shows up with skinny jeans and a graphic tee on Sunday, you'll know that he got the hint.
Oh, goodness gracious. What is a graphic tee?
A t-shirt with a picture on it.
Okay. No, that's not going to happen. In fact, the opposite. The whole thing
he's
is
gonna, to, I'm going to go full on three-piece suit on Sunday.
I'm just trying to be as ordinary as I possibly
there
can.
You go.
I don't know who started this language, but someone said about Grace, meat and potatoes. I think I said vanilla.
Nice.
But that's all good. This does relate, though, to the topic of yesterday's sermon.
Right.
Again, I thought it was a fantastic treatment of that text and an exhortation to Grace Community Church. And the title was The Ordinary Church, right?
Mm-hmm.
An Ordinary Church. And so give us a quick overview.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it went from Acts 12:25 to Acts 13:3, so a short passage.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, you have Paul and Barnabas returning with Mark to the Antioch church. They had gone to Jerusalem to give a love offering to help in a famine. And then when they come back, there's a list of these five men that are the leadership, the prophets and teachers at the Antioch church. And while they're fasting and worshiping, the Holy Spirit comes and instructs them to set Paul and Barnabas apart to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And so they fast and pray, and they lay their hands on them, and then they send them out. So that's the whole thing. What I was trying to do was I framed it ordinary church because much of Acts is very extraordinary, right? We see miracles and healings and just mass conversion and all of these kind of big things that catch our attention. But in this moment, right before the Holy Spirit revealing something, I thought we have a moment of ongoing action in this church that might help us remember. And paired with the piece of something we don't think about, which is that a lot of time had actually lapsed between chapter 12 and chapter 13, that we catch them praying and worshiping the Lord and fasting, that had actually been something that was going on for several years before the Holy Spirit. If you read it without thinking about that, it sounds like they got home and then immediately they're called off to the next thing.
Yeah.
And so with that, we try to identify a couple of things that we see in that ongoing action, and that was that the church was a church, a people church. It's made up of different kinds of people. That list of names is various mm-hmm. people from different backgrounds and geographical locations and cultures and all kinds of things. And then on top of that, they were a consistent church, which is where we highlighted the timepiece, that worship, pray, fasting, all mm-hmm. of the things you see in Acts chapter 2 that Barnabas likely brought over and instituted in this church when he came, has been going on consistently over time.
Okay.
And then that they were mission-minded, and that they had already even been thinking about not only themselves, but other believers when they sent that offering to Jerusalem previously in Acts chapter 11, and also their willingness to send Barnabas and Saul, who would become Paul, or be known as Paul later, mm-hmm. That their willingness to send them out meant that they weren't so ingrown,
yeah.
But that they were focused on, you know, getting the gospel to the nations
yeah.
as well.
Now, in some respects, that doesn't sound very ordinary.
Right.
But I think
that's kind of the point, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But you are saying ordinary in the sense of functioning, as the New Testament says.
That's right.
But your time element, I think, is important too, mm-hmm. because it does show there was a season where they were just carrying out the ordinary functions and ordinary means of God's grace in a local church.
That's right. And I think in some ways, like building up, we read Ephesians 2, mm-hmm. which uses the illustration of like the building of a house mm-hmm. And us being a part of that house. And I think that period of time was a building up, because the leadership was going to be sent out. Like Paul and Barnabas were probably the premier teachers at this point. And so their absence would have required a building up so that there would be people who would be ready to mm-hmm. step into those positions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's stay with this word ordinary, and I want you to exhort our people in this respect. All right. Could you give the ordinary church member a vision for their lives in an ordinary church like Grace Community Church?
Yeah. Well, I think we talked for a moment in that we highlighted the differences between these men who were listed. We also broadened out and just said the church, as we learned in 1 Corinthians, is like a body made up of many members. I think I also used the illustration of a mosaic. Mm-hmm. And that means that every church member has a personality that's God-given, a function, like a spiritual gifting of some sort, that is useful in a unique way, in the same way that your hand is unique to your body or your foot is unique to your body. And that means that we can't just view our congregation as a show to come and view on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. It's not something you can only stream and download content. And that's all that you need. Mm-hmm. If that were the case, then you could replace it. You could just have like a Netflix style subscription to doctrinal things, and there would be no need for it. But the church is a body. It's a congregation. It's people, and so that means we have to view each of us as someone who has a function in that church that only we can fulfill, and that's mm-hmm. God's sovereign plan for our life, mm-hmm. and also that we need the other people. We, mm-hmm. without the other people functioning in their ways, we can't do everything that we could do to spread the gospel and things like that. So, and for things like accountability and encouragement and equipping, so we need the people in our church, and the mm-hmm. church, the people in our church, and the church as a whole needs us individually. So that means to be a healthy ordinary church member means to show up, like we mm-hmm. we always say. And be ready to serve,
yeah.
And be ready to receive mm-hmm. The things that we need there. So I'd say that's a big part of it.
Yeah. So the vision for the ordinary church member is be okay with being an ordinary church member, mm-hmm. because ordinary church members actually contribute to churches.
That's right.
And that means you don't have to be a standout, whatever that means. You know, mm-hmm. that's so human. We're talking on a human level. Humanly speaking, a person doesn't need to worry about being a standout in their mm-hmm. church. They can just, I'm a faithful church member.
Right.
That contributes to something bigger than me.
Yeah, and I think Paul kind of, I feel like, addresses that in a way when in his 1 Corinthians mm-hmm. Illustration, because there are parts of a body that are more visible and more recognized mm-hmm. and highlighted sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that might be something like a leadership role for some. Mm-hmm. But he's saying, look, even if some parts are a little less like that than others, that doesn't negate their usefulness, their necessity. And so I think even if people have a little more of a behind the scenes kind of way of serving, that doesn't mean that there's less to it or that yeah. it's less needed. That yeah. there's a lot of honor and glory to Christ in people that are working behind the scenes who might not be in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as you said, just being there, being present. And
yeah.
I think we all underestimate the power of being present in the room, like same time, same place in the room with other Christians.
Yeah.
The human interaction and seeing someone who's in the faith, who's walked with Christ another week, who intends to walk with Christ the week to come, and we're in this together, the encouragement. I think people regularly underestimate the power of that.
Yeah.
And if they could see it and have vision for it, mm-hmm. yeah, they would show up more. All right, then a follow-up question to that is, what would you say to a church member whose church is ordinary? Mm. So we live in a great city. Let's be real honest, okay?
Yep.
We live in a great city. We live in a city that has a lot of churches and a lot of big churches. A lot of churches doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
Okay. So what would you say to the person in Nashville, Tennessee, the Christian in Nashville, Tennessee who goes to an ordinary church?
Yeah.
I don't mean, so we've defined.
Yeah.
I don't mean ineffective. Mm-hmm. I don't mean unbiblical,
right?
But ordinary in the sense of carrying out the ordinary means of grace.
Yeah, I think if somebody said, "Oh, I just go to an ordinary church," mm-hmm. it sounds to me like that's a disparaging remark. Mm-hmm. You know, in the same way that someone might say if they had an occupation that they thought was like less important, and mm-hmm. they say, "Oh, I'm just a teacher" or something like that, right? You say, "Well, that remark betrays, mm-hmm. you know, a devaluing of the thing mm-hmm. that you're saying." Mm-hmm. Teachers are important, and I would say an ordinary church is a good thing, as we see in this passage, mm-hmm. and we see them going through these ordinary means, and then the Lord using that in a mighty way. Mm-hmm. Even if there was a season of where not a lot of really like big highlight things happened, mm-hmm. The building up the church was happening. So I think the ordinary church is a good thing. Mm-hmm. So I'd encourage them to be glad that they're in a church that's carrying out the means of grace, that's building disciples for the sake of the kingdom. And I would say, like, think about what you really believe the church is for, because mm-hmm. what is it that you're distinguishing between your ordinary church and what you would call like a flashy church, and why is it bad that your church isn't doing those things? If it has to do with stylistic things, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that might be an emphasis that isn't really that important. Mm-hmm. We don't have to have that. Mm-hmm. If it's that nobody knows your name out in the world there, Scott, you know, like I go to a church where nobody knows who my pastor is or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's not on the news, or he didn't have a bunch of books published, or he mm-hmm. doesn't whatever. Like, is that what church is about? That's not really what church is about.
Not at all.
And so I think trying to make sure we have our values in what church is about aligned with what the Lord says churches are for. The mm-hmm. churches are for the glory of God and the spreading of the gospel. If you're in a church where people are learning about him, they're sharing their faith with other people, they're supporting and encouraging mm-hmm. missions, they're praying for the glory of Christ to be revealed around us, all of those are great things. That's exactly where you should be.
Yeah, yeah.
So it should be, instead of like, I just go to an ordinary church, you go, I go to an ordinary church.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's good. And one of the things I think is important in this respect is that we respect the sovereignty of the Spirit of God to move as he will, mm-hmm. and that we do not assume that the smile of God is on a congregation that experiences the sovereign work of God's Spirit in some outward way, mm-hmm. more than the church that is faithfully praying and preaching and edifying each other and mm-hmm. doing their best to do evangelism.
Yep.
And that's a very human way of evaluating things.
Yeah.
The smile of God is on all of God's people when they're gathered faithfully under the word, preaching the gospel, building up the believers, doing baptism in the Lord's Supper, mm-hmm. you know, being faithful.
Yep.
The smile of God's on that. The Spirit of God is on that church.
That's right. So.
But that's good. So, but we're playing on this word ordinary. And of course, as we said, we don't mean boring, ineffective. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about ordinary means of grace, mm-hmm. ordinary according to the Bible. Great message on Sunday. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
We're going to pick up in Acts 13 this coming Sunday, Lord willing, and launch with Paul on the first missionary journey.
And he'll start being called Paul, I think, in that passage.
He does start to become Paul, so we don't have to stumble all over ourselves saying, Saul, Paul.
Which I did yesterday.
Yeah. All right. See you.